Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Blaney. So what?
It's the Melchester Odyssey again. Last week, we kind of got a bit sidetracked. We thought we'd get beyond the front cover of the 3rd of October 1981, but we didn't. Sorry about that, but we'll progress through the next part now, hopefully. They've got a nice new thing in there. Is it called a stand fast, Sam, at the top
stand
of the
page? Fast.
Yeah, stand first. They've got a nice new thing where they've got the they've got Roy and Duncan and Blackie, and is that Paco Diaz as well?
Yeah.
And they're holding up a big banner that says Melchester Rovers, and Roy's got his thumb aloft, and it's all fucking jolly. But anyway, I thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, it's nice. It's like, lads, we're in this together.
Division 2,
but fuck it. We're still getting paid. None of us have had pay cuts, so
yeah,
fuck it. Should be easy.
None of that happened then, did it? So here we are. And at the top, a little bit of a preview of what's to come, and it just says, there's a bit of a disturbance involving Vic Guthrie, and that's in speech marks of someone saying that. Somewhere.
When I see that, I clap my hands together and rub them.
Yeah, bring it on,
Guthrie. So, you know, I'm currently reading with Len the new sort of rebooted Roy of the Rovers.
Yeah,
which are there's a mixture of them. They're like sort of written in they're novels, but some are graphic novels. So there's different. There's a series of them. And it's weird the way it works. So, like, you read one where he's first scouted, and then and that's a novel. But then the next sort of chapter, so to speak, is a graphic novel. And now we're on to the third book, which is just a normal book again. Anyway, they've rebooted it. It's not about Roy's son, Roy Jr., or anything. It's just like almost like a whole new story set in the present day about a kid called Roy Race who's obsessed with Melchester Rovers, who are the fallen giants of English football and are currently languishing in League Two.
Completely, fucking hell.
Completely skint, overshadowed by their local rivals, who are called something like Foxborough. And he loves this club. But because it's very modern day, everything has to be very gritty. So Roy's dad was a super fan. He was like the chairman of the official football, the fan association of Melchester Rovers. But he's had a stroke or something, and he's in a wheelchair, and he can't talk, right? And he's half paralysed. And so, and his mum's like a carer. She works in social care.
Yeah.
And Roy has to, like, take his dad to the matches himself in a wheelchair, and it's pretty grim. But the upside is that he's scouted while he's still doing his A-levels to play for Melchester on their uppers to such a degree that they've had to basically get rid of all their first teamers and scout and hire a load of kids from the local area to play
the colleges
for them. Yeah.
For new players, for new blood.
And so that's what's happening. But what's interesting is Roy is in it as this star young striker who's like 17, 18. But the other players that he meets are all, they all have the same names as the players who we know and love.
What from, even Blackie?
Yes. So his best friend...
I thought that would have been, wiped out.
His best friend's Blackie Gray. But they all have different black backstories. So you've got... So there's a Vic Guthrie character. And he still has red hair. And he's Welsh. But his hair's sort of a trendy modern hairstyle.
Yeah.
And he is an utter cunt.
Even more so than in the 1980s.
But there's also Paco Diaz, who's this young, really handsome Spanish kid, right? Who's
really from the flats.
He's really flash, and he's actually much more of a wanker in this than he is in. Like we all like Paco's one of the great. He's one of the great lads in the Melchester team in the '80s, isn't he?
He's a flair player, yeah.
But in this, he's a flair player, but he's sort of clearly modelled on Cristiano Ronaldo because he fucking loves himself and he thinks he's gorgeous and he just thinks he's better than everyone else. So. But it's really interesting because they've rebooted all of the characters. But
is it a really good read?
It's a good read, yeah. If you can stomach the sort of the modern trend to make everything, everything sort of feels like it's got like a... It has to be very authentic and real. Yeah. Whereas I feel like this Roy the Rovers, that, you know, we see in the 80s, but there's some stuff creeping into it about hooliganism... And Roy has his ups and downs in his marriage. But I feel it's all pretty, superficial stuff. And most of it is like a fairy tale. But
hero fantasy shit, isn't it?
But for football-loving, mostly boys of that era. Yeah. Whereas this stuff is still great. It's still exciting. And Len's still spellbound by it. But I think, oh, God, they have to shoehorn in. Everyone's from a broken home. Everyone's victim of prejudice. Right.
Oh, blimey.
And all of which is, they're all issues that are dear to our hearts and we feel strongly about, as regular listeners will know. But at the same time, not necessarily what I go to Royal Rovers for.
Sounds like fucking EastEnders.
Yeah. But that said, it's easy to ignore. It is really good, but not as good as what we're involved in here.
Yeah. How could it be? Mm. Right. Then, at the beginning of this week, it says, although Melchester Rovers had stormed to a 5-0 victory in their first match of the season, Roy had problems with the super brat Vic Guthrie. Then Kenny Logan, a promising youngster whose father was bitterly opposed to him becoming a professional footballer,
turned up unexpectedly.
How opposed are you, sir? Bitterly. we've got a bit of a training session going on at the start of this one. I like it when they wear their yellow shirts for training and some of them wear red bibs for the training match they have.
Did you say that you own a Melchester Rovers shirt, don't you? Is that right?
Yeah, I've got the 1970s one. The red one with the yellow stripe.
Yeah. I've been thinking of getting one because I've me and Len are playing an increasing amount of football in the garden.
Yeah,
and I've decided that I quite want to get us football shirts to play in because I'm a fucking man baby, and I haven't really owned a football shirt in years. But I was thinking of something. I was on that site, Toffs, who do all the old shirts.
Yeah, do they still do Melchester ones? Do they?
They do. Yeah,
that's where I got mine from originally.
Len's really into Santos because he's become interested in Pelé and Neymar and Brazilian football. And Santos have a fucking couple of great shirts. I mean, you won't like one of them's a bit too Newcastle-y for you, but the other one is just plain white with a beautiful, simple black and white badge on the chest. Nice. So I was going to get a boys one of those for him, but I thought, nah. I mean, I've got old retro West Ham shirts kicking around the house, but I think, fuck it, I might just go Melchester.
Get Melchester, of course.
Might just do it.
Right, so they're having a training session. Kenny Logan is at the fucking centre of everything. He's just got in between Duncan Mackay and... Is that... What's his name again? Ginger Taffy.
There's so many gingers in this. I mean, there's a disproportionate amount.
Defender, what's he called?
Not Kenny Logan. Boy, the one who thinks he's the Joker in the pack.
Yeah. Anyway, him.
Yeah.
It's his fault we've forgotten his name.
Yeah.
And Logan's just nipped in between them, headed the ball past Charlie Carter.
Yeah.
And one of the players shouts, yes!
Kenny Logan's a good player, right? It's hard to categorise him, though. I can't quite see what position he is. I think he's ostensibly a winger, but he drifts in and gets a lot of... He's not like your classic... He's not like Paco, who'll just get the ball and dribble down the wing and cross it in.
Yeah.
He sort of drifts inside, and he's very good, I've noticed, of nipping in front of defenders like that and just pouncing like a fox in the box.
Nowadays, he'd be like one of these wide forwards, wouldn't he?
Yeah. It's
kind of doesn't contribute on any real level because they're not good enough to be the out-and-out striker, so they get stuck wide.
Like Pedro of Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like that, isn't he?
Noel Baxter, that's the fucker.
That's the cunt.
So Noel Baxter says, young Logan's done it again. He sneaked in out of nowhere. Just fucking making excuses there, you cunt, because you've just been done by a kid.
Yeah.
And Duncan Mackay pipes up as well, that's the mark of a born striker.
He's making excuses as well.
Yeah, exactly. They're both like, oh, this kid's incredible.
To be fair, he's completely unplayable. I mean, no defender in the world could have stopped that. Yeah, you went to sleep, you couple of fucking flat-footed, complacent cunts. You've been fucking stealing a living off of this club for years now, right?
That's
for over
Division
a decade.
Your
place in the team is untouchable, irrespective of mistakes, right? Because the squad is so fucking threadbare, and Roy's just got his people that he likes, his cronies, and you're more or less guaranteed a fucking starting place. And so they haven't been up against it. No one makes an effort in training, but this kid does because he's new and raw and hungry. And they're like, fuck it, Al.
That's a blessing that he's come along, really.
You're going to have a word with that cunt because he's making us all look like fucking idiots in training.
It's a blessing because the last signing they made was a fucking pensioner. So it's probably good for the club that he's come along.
Yeah.
So he's put this header in and then he runs off and he shouts across to Roy, hear that, Roy? Maybe I was born to play for Melchester Rovers.
Fuck off.
Roy's not getting involved in training. Roy doesn't take part. He doesn't need to.
What do I need to train for?
What am I going to learn?
I've got nothing left to learn. As for my fitness, don't worry about that. I've got my own systems that I can take care of in the privacy of my own home.
I've got a bull worker. I've got one of the bull workers.
All I fucking need.
Do it in my
bedroom.
5 minutes
on that in the morning before my porridge. That's the racy system.
I'm going to get one of the bull workers now that we're in pandemic lockdown.
It's fucking perfect.
I read a report
that said that since lockdown happened, sales of bull workers out of Argos have gone up by 2,000%. And also Stretch Armstrong's.
Yeah, which is the poor man's bull worker.
Yeah.
And he says that, and then Taffy looks on sternly, cheeky little blighter.
Fuck off. Right. Don't talk to us like that.
Who do you think you are? And Roy... Roy's smiling benignly. He likes this kid. He says,
I like this cunt.
He's a good little cunt. That's part of his image, Taff. Kenny wouldn't be such a good player if he didn't have an impish streak.
If he weren't such a cunt.
He's a cheeky little cunt. He reminds me of me. I like him.
But let me tell you this. He will never be half the fucking player I am. Right? Just as long as he remembers that. And knows stays in his fucking lane, he'll do all right.
I'll tell you this as well. If I do sign him, 75% of his goal bonus goes straight to your truly. As per usual.
Whatever his fucking old man's got to say about it.
And he says, he wouldn't be such a good player if he didn't have an impish streak. And Taff says, even so, Roy, scoring goals in tournaments and practice matches is a bit different from the real thing. True. The same thought had already occurred to Roy. Roy standing there thinking, and apart from that, I think I ought to have a final chat with his father before I come to any decision. So he's still got Logan's dad to concern himself with. Suddenly, some cunt in a suit comes out. I don't know who it is. Might be the fucking doorman or something like that. And he says, Roy, you're wanted at the main entrance. There's a bit of a disturbance going on involving Vic Guthrie.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. Roy says, fucking hell.
Bollocks.
Not again. And Guthrie. Guthrie's been a super brat since the 70s, hasn't he? He was always what.
He's always because
I'm thinking
like
he's a bit John McEnroe, but he's not really, is he? Well, maybe Ilie Anastasi was the other one.
He was before that any of them.
Yeah.
Right back in the early 70s, he was already acting the cunt. He sort of, he should have trademarked
prototype.
It. Yeah. 70s and 80s, which was the golden age of the what's known as the sporting cunt. In that way, in those days, don't forget, they used to have the yearly TV show Sports Cunt of the Year.
Sports Cunt of the Year, yeah.
And Frank Boff presented it a lot of the time.
He did.
Or sometimes Coleman. Oh, yeah. Oh, welcome to Sports Cunt of the Year. And what a packed lineup it is this year. The runners and riders. We've got John McEnroe. We've got, who's that? James Hunt.
Because, of course, Coleman himself was regarded as a bit of a cunt, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah. Do you remember when he died? There were the plaudits were few and far between when he died.
Really?
It was all stuff like, yes, he was a very professional operator and all this sort of thing. He used to just shout at fucking menial staff members
really?
And things like that.
You
yeah,
can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fucked that up because of
at?
You.
Yeah.
Did
I think
all right,
there's
though.
Some stuff. There's stuff on YouTube. I think of him shouting at people.
Oh, brilliant!
A compilation of it.
I'll look that up. We might do a deep dive into it.
But what we should do a sporting cunts spin-off series. Probably shouldn't be a different one each week.
Great sporting cunts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Some mini pods.
Yeah, great sporting cunts. That's brilliant.
So we get to the main entrance.
Yeah.
And there's the green door there. Roy seems to have come out of the same door that the fella in the previous panel has walked in through. That's weird.
But right. Oh, yeah, they're right on the other side.
There's stuff inside the wall.
Yeah.
You'd think Roy would hear the disturbance. But anyway, seconds later, Vic Guthrie's in among what he describes as some news hounds.
Fucking news hounds.
Pushing and shoving out. One of them's wearing a trilby, which, of course, is the signifier of the news hound.
The news hound.
And Vic's going, clear off! Why can't you news hounds leave me alone? And he's pushing and shoving them. One of them's going, oof!
This is quite a big deal. He's gone out and there's some journalists there wanting to ask questions, understandably, because there's some weird shit's gone on. He walked out of a summer tour. And they ask questions, and Vic just doesn't fuck around. He has swung for a journalist. Now, even the maddest of the mad, like even Cantona never tried to punch a journalist. Even Cluffy never punched a journalist.
Yeah, some things are sacred, aren't they?
Yeah.
But, and Roy shouts, Vic, cut that out!
Jalapeño. Jalapeño.
What the fuck's Guthrie wearing anyway? He looks like Rod Hull. They better go on Parkinson.
Weird safari jacket with mustard-coloured polo neck underneath.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great look, don't get me wrong. But
no, but this is the 80s. I mean, he's still stuck in the 70s, I think.
Well, he's turned up at his place of work dressed like that as well. Surely he'd come in a tracksuit, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
But never mind. Guthrie had been sent off during Rover's first match, which, of course, we remember. And he'd, Roy's got him in his office. And Roy's saying, haven't you caused enough trouble lately, fucker? And Guthrie's going, you're all against me just because the fans nicknamed me Super Brett. I demand fair treatment, he shouts.
Super cunt's more like it.
I he
tell
demands
you what,
fair
you're
treatment.
Fucking nailed on for that Coleman Award this year, right? You're fucking nailed on for it. I've had money on you. That's the only that's the only fucking silver lining to all of this fucking trouble you're causing. It means that my bet's fucking safe.
Fucking Ilie Anastasi threw his racket at the umpire in the French Open and he's still behind you in the fucking betting, you prick.
Also, had a bet on yourself, have you? Fucking hell, wouldn't surprise me.
I've just turned the page and I've just seen something a little bit further on which has mesmerised me, but we'll have a look at that in a minute. So, it's punishment time, and Roy says, you get the treatment you deserve, which means 6 weeks suspension and 2 weeks loss of wages. In your present mood, Vic, you're no good to the team. That's a fucking heavy blow, isn't it?
He really blasts him, doesn't he?
6 weeks suspension. I'd just sell the cunt, do you know what I mean?
You fucking clocked a fucking journo out there, you prick, right? I'm going to have to fucking lay you off for 6 weeks.
You can't do that.
You can't, I mean, God knows. God fucking knows, right? I have wanted to do a lot worse to some of them cunts in the past, right? Of course you do. But, you know, they will hunt you to your fucking grave, right? You've got to be craftier. Next time, right, ask me about it. I know a couple of fucking shady cunts up the feathers, right? And they can do, look, trust me, right, they can make people disappear. They can put the frighteners on people. They can make people's loved ones disappear. They can follow people home. They can creep about in people's gardens. They can send weird shit through the post.
They're very versatile.
They can put bricks through windows. They're very imaginative people.
They've got a whole gamut of things they can do. A lot of options.
They've got systems. They've got options.
Procedures.
Right? They've got processes and procedures. That's the way these things are done, Vic. I wish you'd just come to me. We could have sorted all of this out.
The gentlemen of the press are fucking sacrosanct. Keep your hands off them. And so there, 6 weeks suspension, 2 weeks loss of wages. Vic's not happy, obviously. Now, listen, you better not talk to me like that, or I'll... And we don't find out what he'll do, because Roy shouts over the top of him. You can consider yourself lucky. I haven't listened to you, Vic. Now go home and cool off before you say something you really regret.
Okay, now.
And Vic's one of these. He does. He's all mouth and no action,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah,
he's always this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Roy's
got no fear of Vic whatsoever.
Nah.
He doesn't... He's just like, fucking hell, keep barking.
Dog shite, isn't he?
Hey,
yeah.
Dogs can fucking bark, right? You can yap at me all day fucking long. You're never going to bite, you toothless cunt.
So Vic drives off in a little red... I don't know what it is.
Get in your fucking little red car and fuck off, Noddy.
Yeah, it is. It's not a flash car at all, is it? And Taffy says, wow, did you see the expression on his face? Roy says, I'm feeling a bit narked myself, Taffy. I refuse to make an exception with Vic, no matter how temperamental he is. I'm just saying the thing again. What's going on? Oh, man. So Vic has been dealt with. We won't be seeing him again for a while, 6 weeks. Roy immediately goes out to the fucking... Roy goes out to the press men outside. There they all are in their trilbies and their fucking sheepskin coats with their notepads. Cunt. And Roy goes out to tell them the news. So here's a statement for you, lads.
Cunts.
Vic Guthrie. Yeah. Gather round, cunts. Vic Guthrie has been suspended for 6 weeks. And I'm going to sign Kenny Logan on a full contract. Logan's there behind the wall and he just shouts, woohoo!
Imagine if that happened now, right? Imagine fucking, you know, Jurgen Klopp coming out and going, yeah, guess what, cunts? I've just fucking, hi, members of the press, I would like to announce some great news that Sadio Mane has signed a contract extension to keep him at the club until 2024. And the journalist will hear something go, wahoo! And it's fucking, it's Mane in full kit, boots and shin pads, standing in the press conference cheering himself. There you go, you fucking vultures. Print that in your fucking rags. See what I've done there, Kenny? That's classic spin. I don't need any of these fucking media advisor cunts, right? I've given them a little bit of bad news, and then I've covered it up with a bit of good news about you. And you see the headlines tomorrow, they're all a bit about you and not fucking Vic, right? Spin doctors, I fucking shit them.
So then we've got the press conference in the next frame. All the press are there. It looks like it's in Roy's office. Kenny Logan sat behind the desk. It says later that day. What the fuck has happened to Roy's face in this picture?
Sort of melted. and so is Kenny Logan's face. Kenny Logan's face has been drawn like a series of dashes. He looks like someone from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Deliverance.
Yeah.
You know, like in Deliverance, there's all like weird hill people who like their faces have been half burnt off or they're missing a couple of chromosomes, right? That's what they both look like.
Roy looks like James Hunt, but after his death.
Yeah.
And they're just so pasty. Skew must have done these kind of late at night, and he's just going, on to the next one tomorrow. Time for bed.
Says to his missus, put that in a fucking envelope and send it down to the fucking publishers. That'll have to do.
I'm staying double. I need to fucking stop for the night. Send that off.
And look who's there as well. What's his name? The general manager.
Ben fucking Galloway.
Galloway always fucking makes Glory sure he's there for the photo call, doesn't he? He does fuck all that bloke.
Yeah. So Death Mask Roy is thinking, what a press turnout. What is like a fucking ventriloquist? Don't forget it. What a press turnout. Kenny's father will know all about this by tomorrow. That's for sure. And there's a cameraman saying, look at the camera, Kenny. Kenny's there. He's wearing what Vic Guthrie was wearing. What the fuck? Weird.
Maybe it's exactly the same outfit. I think they've stripped
Vic Guthrie before they sent him up.
Right. You're out for 6 weeks, which is convenient because we just signed Kenny Logan. He looks about the same size as you. So give us your fucking civvy clothes, right? And he can have that for the next 6 weeks. But what about when I come back? Well, we'll have to fucking think. We'll cross that bridge when we fucking come to it.
Vic Guthrie's driving off in a string vest and spotty boxer shorts.
And his socks are suspenders.
Yeah. And street shoes. Ah, come on, Roy. Let us keep my shoes. I've got to drive. Keep your fucking shoes then.
Kiss your fucking socks, though. No, I don't want the suspenders. They're fucking daft.
You fucking pervert. What a press turnout. Kenny's father will know all about this by tomorrow, that's for sure. So Roy hasn't done what you thought he might do. He's bottled it.
Yeah.
He signed the kid without talking to Logan's father first, which he's entitled to do because Logan's 18. You know, like you said in the previous episode, he's almost old enough to go up there.
He's just thought, you know what? I'll just fucking sign him. And if the cunt fucking wants to come and kick up a fuss, we'll have to just fucking deal with that when it happens. Yeah.
And if it does, I've signed him anyway, so what the fuck's he going to do?
What are you going to do, dickhead?
So there we are. We've got Kenny Logan's on the books now. Onwards, it says, Roy was more concerned about Rovers' next league match away to Railsborough.
Ooh.
Mm. And they seem to play in green and white. But crowd member says, Manchester are without two of their first team regulars, Mervyn Wallace and Vic Guthrie. These are Railsborough fans, by the way.
I've been looking at the match news, the team news in the newspaper.
I got here early to hear them announced on the PA. I bought the programme, but you never get the accurate lineups on the programme.
Because they publish it 2 days in advance, you see. So I buy a copy of it and I bring a little biro pen and I make changes to the back page as the teams are announced. That way, when I go home and record them in my folder, they'll be historically and factually correct.
And then, in years to come, when someone tries to buy these programmes second-hand from a shop or from a dealer, they'll be really annoyed to see I've written all over them. Ha ha ha!
But it won't bother me by then, because I'll probably be dead. But my attention to detail will live on forever.
I'll have retired and have grown out of football. So he says there, without two first-team regulars, Mervyn Wallace and Vic Guthrie. And his pal says, so Borough might be set for two wins in a row.
Oh, these are a couple of fucking fun lads to be around, aren't they?
Railsborough's won their first game, obviously. But after only a few minutes, oh, it's there. It's Racist Rocket. And Borough haven't even got their game together. Yeah, Roy's like, fucking have that. Bang, 1-0.
I'll shut you, those prick fans of yours up.
Right, sit on it, lads. I'm fucking standing up here on my own having a rest.
I'm going to have a fucking breather.
Yeah, but they don't, though. They pile the pressure on. And it says, Roy was obviously determined to put his problems behind him. He's in the box. I don't know what kind of defensive line is going on here. It says, there he goes again. Look at the space he's making for Paco Diaz. And he is. He's got four defenders running towards him, which is ridiculous because he's just one man. I mean, he's brilliant, but fucking hell. Grow up, lads.
I know, terrible defending. But that's he's playing at a lower level now. So
Division 2, innit? Yeah. Diaz shouts, "Now, Roy!" Is that Spanish? That was more Welsh, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
Taffy again.
"Now, Roy! Pas tu paco!"
Roy chips it across. Diaz nods it in. 2-0! Fantastic football! And someone from the crowd. They're all mixed in together. Look, you've got Rovers fans and Railsborough fans all in together because you can see their banners. Different times. It definitely wasn't happening in the fucking early 80s.
No.
So one of them shouts, 2-0, fantastic football. It really makes you wonder. Is there any team in the second division who can take a point off the Rovers? They're going to go through this whole season winning every game, are they?
Even though they've made no changes apart from the new lad, obviously. But This is a relegated team on their arse. I would say ageing. Lacking motivation. They've won it all. They've won it all. Do you know what I mean? I remember the Lippi, who used to manage Juventus in the 90s when they were really great and they won the European Cup and stuff. He said, as soon as a team of mine have won the Champions League and Serie A, he goes, the first thing I do is fucking change all the players.
Yeah.
He goes, because they're not... It's really hard to motivate them the second time round, so you're better off getting a team of younger, hungry players. Fucking Roy has stuck with this bunch. And we all know why. It's because he's fucking got a sweetheart deal with all of them for their goal bonuses and appearance bonuses.
Yeah.
And he thinks if he gets new cunts in, they might not play ball. They might not play to the racy tune.
It's almost like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
They've all fallen in love with their captor. That's what he is. So we don't know. Can anyone take a point off the Rovers? We'll find out, won't we, over the next few months. And it just says more Melchester magic in next week's instalment.
That's lazy, isn't it?
Fucking, yeah. Excuse for
next week in this cartoon about Melchester Rovers, there'll be more stuff about Melchester Rovers. Oh, yeah. That's got us on fucking tenterhooks, ready to buy the next issue.
Can't wait to buy next week's.
Half of them are fucking subscribers anyway. We can say anything. We've already got their money.
Right, there we are. That's it from this one. Marks out of 10 for that, Sam?
It was really good, actually. I think I'll give it an 8.5.
Oh, I'm going to give it a 9.
Okay.
Because of the wax faces on that
And the tear-up. Vic swinging for a journalist is fucking mental.
Yeah. You would have been quite shocked by that, I think, when you saw it when you were like 8.
Yeah, because it's something that I don't think's ever happened.
No, exactly. There we are then. That's that one. We'll be back next week. I'm going to turn the page, see if anything jumps out at me. Oh yes.
Yeah, there's something great. Next week, I don't want to give too much away, but next week seems the return to the fold of Arnie Mekiff. His
cousin from Australia.
Yeah, his cousin. And anything involving him is always entertaining.
So it is true. It does see more Melchester magic, and I think that's what we get. So there we are. Proved us wrong, innit? All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We'll be back soon, I'm sure, you dickheads. Keep it cunty.
Keep it cunty.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.